Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday night to you all. And this means that we are, it's the weekend pretty much. I mean, for me, I have one more day of work and then I have 10 days off. So it's pretty much like an extended weekend already. Man, we have a lot to talk about tonight. A ton to talk about. We have been through the Survivor finale. And we have lived to tell the tale. That's right. 3 hours of Survivor. We need to talk about it. We need to discuss everything with it. But before we talk any further, I need to say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hello. We were just talking about my little vacation dilemma. You got 10 days off. You didn't tell me that. What are you doing? Are you doing anything?
Well, you know, the 10 days off, but it includes holidays. So, like, there's holiday things that I have to do. The typical, like, seeing people things. But I'm not, like, going away anywhere, no. No.
It's so stressful. Well, don't think about it.
I know. Well, for the next hour, you're not going to think about it. You're not going to think about the presents that you have to wrap. You're not going to think about the holiday turkey that you have to put in the oven. I don't know what the hell people do. You don't have to think about any of it. All you have to do is think about reality TV. This is what we do. We give you an hour to just kind of relax. Think about random things. Have a little fun. This is the service we provide. I'm very excited about this because for the next hour, or at least for most of it probably, we are going to be discussing the season finale of Survivor, David versus Goliath. So much to talk about, so much to discuss. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. I do not love 6-1. I do not love that we started this episode with six people. And I know, like, you know, we got through the first elimination and it was already just, it was just 30 minutes into it. It was like 8:30 when we got into the first elimination. So, I mean, it was moving. But I always feel bad. I think that if I were on Survivor and I wanted to, like, get my just full experience, everything, you know, the whole when I leave, you know, well, except if I would want to win, let's make this clear, winning would be my best option. But let's say I was an eliminated contestant. Maybe I don't make it that far. Maybe I get on jury. Maybe I even, you know, you get the full experience. You get a week where you do interviews and articles come out about you and it's kind of like a week of you before the next Wednesday rolls around and somebody else gets eliminated. A position that you don't want to be in is number kind of 6, 5, and 4 with Survivor because Davy, Alice, and Kara, who went 6, 5, and 4, they get nothing. They get nothing in this. I mean, Davy at least got even a couple minutes from Jeff Probst. But Allison and Kara didn't even get that. So you get kind of screwed. You get kind of screwed if you're those people. So that's my little rant. I feel bad for them ultimately because they kind of get shoehorned into this thing, and that's why I don't like six people at the end. But I digress. We went to six people. Last week we said, who did we want to win? I said Davey. You said Nick. I was wrong. You were right.
Woo! I don't get that very often. Feels kind of good.
It's true. It happened. It happened. I wanted Davey to win, and I'm so glad that I wanted Davey to win. I just loved Davey. I loved Davey. Unfortunately, he went out first, and he only got like 30 minutes of his time. But when Jeff Probst came in and he was doing his introduction to the show, and they did a look at the final six, and I could see Davey crying already, I was like, oh, this is a good sign. This is a good sign. He's in the final three. He's just overwhelmed. Of course, I was completely wrong, and he went out first. But just the fact, you know, I just loved how much he loved this. And you could just tell. I was so, I mean, I love him. I love him. I'm so happy that I rooted for him. I was bummed that he was gone. It happened to him. So then Davey leaves, and I go, okay, Nick's there. So either Nick is going to win this season, or he's going out right now. And then he went on his immunity run. And, you know, and then three-peat immunity run, you're in. That's all you need to do at the end. This is what the last couple of winners have been able to do. Just, you know, they win. We saw it in Big Brother. Casey, she was a comp piece at the end. That's what Nick was able to do. I want to kind of go back and forth, but I first want to talk to you, Priscilla, about Mike White. Mike getting three votes was probably the most shocking thing of the episode for me. Allison leaving, Kara leaving wasn't necessarily shocking to me. As a matter of fact, when they were showing, they foreshadowed Kara making fire like nothing when we got to the final four. Like, she was doing such a great job with it.
That foreshadowing, I knew Mike was winning. I just knew it the whole entire time.
Yep. Me too. I was like, oh, I guess Mike wins the fire making challenge when they were showing how amazing she was at it. As I saw people leave and kind of those four or five players, I was like, okay, let's see what happens. I was pretty confident that Mike, Angelina, and Nick were going to be final three. I was pretty confident that Nick was going to win at that point, so I was just letting everything ride out. But Mike getting three votes, I was super surprised by. I honestly thought that Angelina and Mike were both going to be zero vote finalists, and we were going to get Nick get a unanimous vote. I thought maybe the Goliaths could possibly split votes, but the way that Tribal was going, and we can talk about this too as we move along, I was super surprised by Mike getting three votes. And the fact that Christian was one of the three votes, super surprising.
I was right about Mike and how they voted not emotionally. I don't know why Christian voted the way he did, but whatever. But no, I was shocked by all that as well.
Yeah, I really, it wasn't even brought up. And maybe it was and it was edited in, but you're right. I thought that Mike being wealthier or, you know, an actor or, you know, I thought that was going to have more of an impact in the final jury. I thought that people, Angelina or Nick, would bring that up. And they didn't. And again, that travel went on for a while. You could tell that it was a long one. So it could have been addressed more and just decided that it wasn't a big part of it. But I thought it was interesting, not only because Christian voted for Nick, but Karen Allison did too. I mean, voted for Mike, I'm sorry. Karen Allison did too. They were the other two votes. And I thought it was interesting that the last two people out voted for Mike over Nick. And I thought, is this like just a Goliath decision? They just wanted to vote for a Goliath, or which I don't think was necessarily the case, but I wondered, I was interested in hearing more about like why they decided Mike over Nick in that scenario. I'm always curious when the last two people do something completely different. It's like they saw something that no one else on the jury saw, and they, you know what I mean? So I wanted to see what that was. So I'm curious, as interviews and stuff come out over the next few days, if that is addressed, why Karen Allison both went with Mike over Nick. Thought it was interesting.
Very interesting.
I want to talk about this Angelina fighting the idol, because we come across this very early on in the episode. Angelina finds an idol clue, and I immediately messaged you, and I said, oh my gosh, remember, I have been talking this up the entire season. Angelina is the one who brought it up in the first episode, that women never find idols, and here we are, the payoff, the last episode of the season, she finds an idol clue, here we go, this is the payoff, this is the foreshadowing that we've been waiting for all season, and I was excited about it. Then we saw the comedy of errors, which occurred, in which first she lost the friggin' clue, and then she couldn't find the thing with the, because she was on the ladder 900 feet in the air, according to Angelina. According to Angelina, she was 900 feet in the air on the ladder. So I was like, oh my God, this is what happens. Angelina is going to represent women getting idol clues in the game, and she does this by losing the idol clue and then not being able to climb up the ladder. Priscilla, I was upset by this. What were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were, I had just come out from a massage, brain free, relaxing, and having messages from you is like one right after another. And I'm like, oh crap, I forgot Survivor was on. That's what I was thinking. But then when I got home and started to watch it, I was like, oi, but you confused me when you said, oh, foreshadowing, no, not foreshadowing, and then I was a little confused when I watched it. But anyway, yes, and then her having to throw in this dramatic way of using it, which actually kind of should have backfired, in my opinion. That is when they should have sent Mike home. But what am I? I don't know anything.
Well, a couple things with this. Angelina then tells Mike and Nick about the idol. Mike and Nick both help. Angelina does not find that idol without Mike and Nick. Correct? I mean, agree with this statement, or do you think I'm underestimating Angelina?
No. I mean, she probably at some point probably would have, but she's comes off as needy, so she needed their help.
So we essentially see that the message that it's almost worse than a woman not finding it at all is that a woman needs help from two men to get to the idol once it's there. You know, like it's terrible messaging. I was like, oh, come on. Jesus Christ, Angelina, you're not doing us any favors. Now, I was surprised, and again, the only thing, and I talked to somebody about this on Twitter, the only thing I can think is maybe it was addressed and it was edited out to go, because it doesn't quite go with a female finally gets an idol storyline that they were going with. But if I were Nick and Mike, I would have absolutely said, she didn't find this idol on their own. We had to help her. You know what I mean? When she was telling the story at Final Tribal Council about how she scaled up the cliff wall all by herself, going 900 feet in the air, and she found it and no one helped her, Nick and Mike, if I was one of them, I would have completely, you know, stepped in and been like, no, she would not have found it without our help. Now, they might have done that, and they might have edited that out, but I was very surprised that that didn't happen, Priscilla.
Yeah. I mean, what she did have to say, what we did see at Tribal, really was useless. I was not surprised at all she didn't get any votes, but I was surprised Mike did get votes.
Did you love the Davy call-out about her talking about the rice, which was, I mean,
yeah.
I've been waiting for it, and Davy did it. I loved it. Davy said, as she talked about sitting out for the rice for the millionth time, Davy said, you know, selfless act is something that you don't have to talk about. And she said, fair enough. Now, she really thought that this was a major point in her game. I disagree with this completely. She feels that she, like, negotiated with Jeff Probst, and what she got was that, you know, she got rice. Now, it worked out because she sat out. She, at that point, everybody was going to take her to the end anyway. They got rice. Everything worked out for the end. We knew that she was going to use it as a major move in terms of this is, like, her move in the game. It was terrible because she actually had some interesting social moves. And she flipped to the Davids at a very pivotal time for her. And I don't think she quite addressed that part of it, the part of it that would make the most sense, the thing that she did that, like, kept her in the game the longest. She doesn't address that, but she addresses the rice. She got the rice. So I loved Davy being like, stop talking about it. You keep talking about what a good person you are because you sat out for a challenge. That's what you did. It was pretty great. It was another reason why we love Davy, right, Priscilla?
Yeah.
You talked about a couple minutes ago that they missed an opportunity to get out Mike when they did. I ultimately think it was the right decision to keep Mike in the game because I was super surprised that Mike got 3 votes, but I still believe that if Kara were in the game, if the situation played out where Kara was in the game, made it to finals, I have a strong feeling that Kara would have, if not have won, it would have been a very close vote. I think that Nick, the right 2 people for Nick to win were in the finals with Nick.
Right, yeah, that's a hard call on Kara, though, because, I mean, she was a silent. She was, I mean, we did not see her much in the game. We did, but we didn't, if that makes sense. She didn't
sure.
do anything to where we got to see what she accomplished. Granted, what she told us and what little we did see, but yeah, it would have been very interesting to see how that would have shook down if she was there instead of Mike.
You know, I think, and not to constantly compare things to Big Brother, but I will because also during Survivor last night, there were tons of Celebrity Big Brother starting January 22nd commercials that were just getting me so excited. But Kara played a very similar game to Casey, in not in the comp beast part of it, even though she did win a competition, but in the social game part of it. And if you were watching the edited show of Big Brother, you had no idea the work that Casey was putting in the house. You had to watch live feeds to do that. I have a feeling that with Kara, this was a similar game. That if we were watching a live feed of the island, we would have seen Kara putting in some good social work, which is boring and not necessarily a fun thing to watch on an edited hour show, so they take it out. You know, if you're not blindsiding people with idols, Survivor doesn't want to necessarily see it. If you're not, like, Christian being goofy or whatever, they don't want to talk about it. And Kara, I mean, she doesn't seem super emotional. She wasn't crying like Gabby and Allison. I think she was just going to work. And so I agree with you. I don't think we saw pretty much anything that she did in the game. And I don't think she said anything or did anything like major, crazy, game-changing, you know, But I think if there was a feed on the island, I think we would have seen her workhorsing it out. You know, making connections with people, creating social bonds, maintaining those bonds, having confidence, getting information in the game, using that information when she needed to. That's all boring thing. And not boring for me or you, because we have feeds. We have live feeds on Big Brother, and that's the stuff we like to see. But for an hour-length show, I don't think that Kara was doing what the producers needed her to do to create, you know, to get into, you know, a 48-minute content-driven show. That's my thought on it. I could be completely wrong, but that's my thought.
Okay, let me ask you I just happened to see a picture of Kristen at some of the after parties. What came into your mind whenever they would go to Christian during the live part?
I thought he looked way, way older than he actually is. That was my first thought. I don't know quite what you're getting at.
Well, I mean, he just looked like he was pissed off at the world. Like, every time they would go to him, until he would open up his mouth to speak, it just looked like he was pissed off at the world. And every time they went to him. And you're right, he definitely looked different without his beard and all that good stuff. But I don't know, he just looked like not the same innocent kind of guy that, you know, was portrayed on the show.
I think that's his face. I think that he has resting bitch face. He has resting bitch face. I think he was, you know, he might have been a little overwhelmed at the experience, but I think he was, you know, he's just a very serious, very focused guy. I didn't really take that to mean anything.
And then, of course, for one, the audio sucked. It was horrible. I could hardly even understand or anything that went on during the live. But, and then once again, Jeff is so focused on what he needs to say or wants to say that he doesn't open himself up, like, because he had a very good opportunity when, was it Natalie? She didn't feel she was portrayed very well. All he had to do when he asked everybody else, were you portrayed in the way that you were, and nobody raised their hand, why didn't he say, was Natalie portrayed the way she was? Why didn't he ask that question and let everybody answer?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting way to go. I mean, and well, that was the reunion, you know, we can talk about that. We can jump back and forth on it before we do that, I want to just go back to Final Tribal for a second. So, you know, there got to a period in the show where I was like, okay, Nick is winning. This is, you know, I feel fairly confident about that. I'm just going to let this ride. Let's watch Final Tribal. Let's see what's happening. Nick, what did you – I don't know how to quite phrase this. You know, what did Nick – Nick told the story of his family at Final Tribal. And I don't want to say it's like a sob story or – it's because it's his story. it's his story of what has happened in his life, you know, about his family, things that he's had to overcome, essentially what has made him a David. As he was, and you know, I'm the girl that when The Voice does the packages of people, I don't like them. I like seeing people as competitors. I don't know. I mean, I like getting the background, but not like not the sobby, sad stuff all the time. But anyway. As Nick was telling his story at Final Tribal, I was super bummed by this. I was like, oh, he was going to win. He's going to win regardless. I just hate the idea that people are going to think that he won because of his story. And I don't know if you got that same vibe, but it reminded me very much of Adam Klein in Millennials versus Gen X, where Adam would have won against Hannah and Ken. It was happening. But there was so much, I wouldn't say backlash, but there were so many people saying afterwards that essentially he got kiddie votes because of what was going on with his mom. I thought it definitely discredited him as the player that he was because the story occurred, because he was telling this story. And I felt the same way about Nick, where it was like, he's winning. He's going to win no matter what. But now he's told this story. And I know why we see it in terms of editing, because it makes Nick, it makes him a more rootable guy. The audience is in for him as a winner. But I don't know. I was just kind of like, why, man? Why? You could do this without your story. You can still do this. I don't know. I didn't love that move. I didn't love that move. Am I being oversensitive here?
I think a little. I didn't read into it that much. Now, after we'd already heard it and then Jeff has to bring it up again at live, I thought that was kind of unnecessary. But, you know, it kind of was his journey a little bit. I don't know. Like I said, why does Jeff Probst just annoy the hell out of me when he... As a host, why?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, true. I agree with you in terms of the bringing it up again at the live. Again, like he had just, you don't get a lot of time to speak to the winner in general. To use that 2 minutes to use it on that, I thought was. You know, he really, the emotional hard hit, you know, and maybe we are obviously not your typical Survivor fan in terms of maybe the majority of the audience wants to see like, oh, I want to see the crying. I want to see the heartfelt story. I want to see the, and I'm like, no, I want to hear more about the strategy. I want to hear, about, you know. So I'm like the worst person to ask about that, but you're right. When he asked about it at live, I definitely was like, "Come on, you know, come
like,
on again."
I mean, Jeff and Andy Cohen annoy the hell out of me. Like they're so focused on like doing a script that they have a lot of missed opportunities of coming back at something that was said or. Listening to what they say. Does that make sense? It's like they're so on autopilot that they don't take in the spontaneity of what's really going on. It's like they're not listening to what they say. They're just waiting for them to finish so they can go on to the next thing. Where I feel that being a little more spontaneous and listening to what they have to say, I think they would be more enjoyable to listen to and watch. I understand about having a script. You have to with a live show. There's no doubt about that. But then there's also where you need to be listening to what they say and ask follow-up questions or come back with what is more in, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people will open the door, especially with Andy Cohen, with something they say, and then they just skate right past it. It's like, well, I would have liked more in-depth on that, you know, kind of thing. Or go on to another stupid damn-ass game.
Yeah, I think it's two different situations, though. I do. I think... You know, as you know how I feel about Jeff in general, and not to defend him or anything, but I will in this situation. I mean, it's a live show with so many moving pieces that it's beyond scripted. Every second is accounted for when you are in that situation. You know, so he doesn't have time to ask follow-up questions. I mean, now they pad it. The question is, do the other things need to exist? Can you make time for follow-up questions? And I think the answer is yes, you can. I mean, they pad it. Now, the last couple seasons, they say the reunion show is an hour. It's not an hour. It's probably about a half hour, and with commercials and everything. And then by the time the last couple minutes are devoted to the next season's show, you don't really have a ton of time to have conversations with people in general. And of course, you have to have the little girl in the audience vote for the winner. You have to have Zeke announce that he's dating the guy from Superstore. That, you know, I mean, of course, you have to have those things, according to Jeff Probst. So, okay, you have to have those things. So, yeah, there's just not a lot of time to speak to contestants, ask follow-up questions or what have you. I think a couple things. One, I hated the fact that, once again, I mean, you know, Jeff can't speak to a woman, you know, about anything. I mean, or if it is, it's about, you know, what did he speak? He spoke to Natalie about her edit. He spoke to Angelina about being a villain. And yeah, he did have a conversation about, like, if she was a man, she would be treated differently. And even though we talk about this a lot, I think if a man asked for Natalie's jacket, I still think we would have been making fun of him. I don't think that would have changed. Angela's variety of playing the game, I think we still would have mocked it, no matter who was doing it. You know, and then we get 2 seconds of Gabby, and her question is, are you still friends with Christian? So it was, you know, she was asked about another guy. Karen Allison, who are final four and final five, get nothing. You know, that, I mean, it just sucks. I mean, that part of it sucks. The, you know, the show is so, you know, when they have returning players in the audience, again, something that someone said to me on Twitter last night, it's always men. They always catch up with men. I mean, it's that part of it I always take notice of, and it kind of sucks. Yet Jeff wants to, like, bring, like, this spotlight to gender, you know, the differences in genders in terms of the game. Well, that starts with production, man. That starts with production. You know, how many women are you speaking to? How many former female contestants are in the audience? How many females are in your production staff? You know, it all starts from there. And I don't think it's happening. I think it's kind of like just, I don't know. It's like a very false thing, which I don't love. But so there was that whole piece of it. So I was like, come on, man. Let's talk about the Natalie thing that you brought up from a couple minutes ago. You know, it was supposed to be this drama-filled, Natalie doesn't like her edit, is what he teased. And when they came back, Natalie said, I don't like my edit. I thought I was this, you know, clearly Natalie's not self-aware. It's a shame. And I loved Natalie on the season. And I thought she was so good. Like, she's such a great character. She was a terrible player. And I wish that she would she would go along with it. She would understand who she was. Even Angelina kind of understood, like, who she was in this game. Natalie, like, does not get it. Like, she's just not self-aware enough to understand, like, what kind of character she was in the game. So it was just a weird, like, I didn't like it. I was just like, oh, that sucks, because now people, like, really like Natalie, and I'm sure they like her way less now. You know, I wish that she just kind of went with it a little bit more. I don't know.
That wouldn't be who she is, though. There's no way. That's not.
I know, but I think that sometimes I don't know. I could have seen her just like going along with the, like, understanding that that was her play out. You know, she, you know, I very some people when people say that the editing was bad, you know, obviously the answer is like, you said it, you did it. Like, they can't edit something that you didn't say or do. But I understand editing happens and changes in timing happen and things like that. There's no doubt in my mind that Natalie was I mean, like, Natalie was edited as Natalie was edited, you know. There's no doubt in my mind that's who she is. I don't question that. But I wish she kind of went along. Like, I wish she was at the reunion and she, like, was Natalie and, like, went along with it instead of being like, I didn't like that, you know. I don't know. It bummed me out. I don't want to see her play again. Well, I didn't want to see her play again anyway, but now I really don't. Now I really don't. I want to ask, overall with the season, let's talk about Nick winning again. Happy with the winner? Winner justifies the season? Good with it in general? Or what are your thoughts?
I'm okay with it. I think Davey deserved it a little bit more, but, you know, he got. So what can you say? I'm definitely glad Mike didn't win. I think he's more of a talker than he is. I know he game, but he didn't really put a lot of work in other than mouth. You know, and I don't know why he rubs me the wrong way. I just don't know why. I can't figure it out. But yes, I'm glad Nick won. He played hard. He worked hard. He hustled when he had to hustle.
I was happy with Nick won, especially from the choices that we had left, obviously. I think that Nick was a deserved winner. I think they brought up a really good point during Tribal when they said that Nick's power move happened midway through the game and he kind of coasted on that move. And I think that's true, but I think that's fine. I think that you make the move when you make it, and if you can coast on it for a while, that's what you should do. And he was able to do that. So I have no problem with that. I like Davey. I wish he won. I wish he could have won. But of my choices beyond Davey, I'm happy that Nick won. You know, I get what you're saying about Mike. I think that he played a better game that you're giving him credit for. I still don't think he should have won. I think that especially he kind of annoyed. I mean, he annoyed me a little bit more this episode than in previous episodes. I did not like. It was not a good look for him during the Allison vote out when he was being kind of catty to her. It wasn't a good look in general. I mean, and part of it is, I'm sorry. I mean, as much if I thought he played a great game again, it wouldn't matter to me who he was, that he's a public figure, that he has a lot of money. That wouldn't matter to me. Hopefully I would believe that when it came time to make the decision. But I still think, like, you know, to be catty about it, like, this is life-changing. This is a life-changing opportunity, and it's probably the least life-changing opportunity for you. You know, for Mike, the money doesn't make him or break him. He's passionate about the show, but, like, he doesn't need the notoriety. He doesn't, you know, it's the least life-changing to him. And that doesn't mean that he shouldn't get it because of that. But it just means that, like, maybe you should be a little bit more sensitive when other people's dreams are getting crushed, where it's like more, you know, it's a more valuable thing for them. So when I think he was super petty during the Allison vote. I didn't like it at all, and I found that annoying. But overall, I'm very happy that Nick won, and I loved the season. It was such a good season. I was super excited all the way through. I mean, there wasn't even a real like slow period for me. Sometimes pre-merge gets a little slow for me, but I was super excited about it. Just a great season. One of my favorites in a long time. Which leads me to, then we see a clip for next season. And I don't know what is wrong with me, but I totally forgot that they would give us a little preview of the next season. And so when he was like the next, I was like, oh yeah, there's a next season. We're going to do this all over again. Edge of Extinction? Nah, could care less. I mean, I was like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? That was my first and only thought. Four returning players? Hate that. I hate four returning players, Priscilla. You know this about me. Hate it.
We haven't had it in a while. So
no, hate it.
Does this mean since Survivor started this niche? Actually, technically, it hasn't aired yet, but technically The Amazing Race has done this. So that means we're having returning players on Big Brother. I just know it.
So, to me, Amazing Race, it doesn't bother me nearly as much. It doesn't bother me nearly as much because when you're traveling around the world, it's just a different set of circumstances. It's just a different thing. Although I wouldn't love a vets versus rookies season of Amazing Race. I wouldn't love that because I think that you have an upper hand when you've played the game before. You know more about it. You understand how it works. So I don't love it in Big Brother. I don't love it. And you're right. It's been a while since we've had this in Survivor. And then to make it worse, Priscilla, So they show Joe Anglum, and I was like, I see why people love him because he's hot, but you know, I was like, I don't need to see him play again. I'm good. And then Aubrey happens, and I was like, oh, we're seeing Aubrey. We're seeing the third season of Aubrey so soon. This is an interesting vibe. And then I was like, who are the two other people that are, they only showed two people of the four returnees. And there was like a quick flash of all four. And then I realized, what is Kelly Wentworth? Priscilla, I love Kelly Wentworth. You know this about me. I'm very upset that she's going into a returning season. I'm already worried that because we didn't even see her speak, like she's out first. This is what I'm worried about.
Okay,
and
you're worried.
I worry when people come back. When people come back, I feel like when they have like an epic season, they need to pack it in. They just need to be done with it. Kelly Wentworth, her first season of the show, not good. It was a blood versus water. She was with her dad. She was out early. She comes back for the second season. The best. Best. So good. I'm worried. I don't want to not like Kelly Wentworth when I love her. So I'm worried about that. And then we get to see David Wright again. So David Wright, of course, from Millennials versus Gen X, he was out Final Four. The thing about David is, you know, if you remember David's gameplay, he got by with, you know, almost like the first season of Suri, like I'm scared of everything. Everything is a major victory for me. Every day that I'm out here and I do well on the challenge, I'm killing the game. You can't do that this time around because people know that he's a smart guy. He's a strategic guy. He's more athletic than he looks like, you know, so he's not going to be able to play that type of I'm a weakling, leave me alone kind of game. So I'm kind of curious to see how he changes it up because people are going to know him. People are going to know him. My only thing about Kelly Wentworth that I'm kind of excited about is that people who are recent Survivor fans, people that are not watching Survivor and then they go watch a few episodes before they get on the island, they're not going to have a full understanding of who Kelly is, which I like. But they're going to know David. They're going to know David. He's much more recent. They're going to know Aubrey. They're going to have seen Aubrey probably twice. So, I don't know. I find it very interesting. But I hate the idea that we're getting four returning players. Hate it. So there we go. I'm already shooting it down.
Take a breath. It's not till spring. You'll have time.
No, I can't. I can't. I'm very excited. I mean, thank God there's a Celebrity Big Brother season in between, so that will get, like, I'll forget about it for a while. Celebrity Big Brother will happen. I'll be happy about that. And then I'll remember. No, and I just want to say, I'm very excited about Kelly Wentworth. Like, I want good things for her. I don't want her to be out, like, when Game Changers happened and Suri was coming back, I love Suri. I was so excited that she was coming back for a fourth time. But then I was scared. I was scared that she was going to go out first. I guess it's the risk you take. I don't know. I don't know. Edge of Extinction, by the way, sounds terrible, and I'm not into it. And I don't like this, whatever twist is looming. None of it is good. I'm very worried about this. So we'll see. The spring seasons I tend to like the fall seasons better than the spring seasons. I don't know why, but it tends to be how this is rolling. So we'll see. I will watch every episode, though, Priscilla. I will watch every episode.
Sure.
Any other thoughts before we move on about Survivor, the season in general, about how I just ranted about Edge of Extinction from a 30-second preview that I watched? Anything?
Well, my rant is I don't see why we need 3 hours of Survivor finale night. Because the live part, we get zero information from. We get no wrap-up on the season. It's just lame duck questions asked by your lovely host. That's my final statement. We can move on.
We need the 3 hours because we start with 5 billion people. We wouldn't need the 3 hours if we started with 5 or with 4 people. But because we start the night and there's still like 19 people left in the game, we have to get them out.
Well, until they make changes, we don't need a live finale until they make changes. I'm sorry, it's wasting my time.
I agree that I think that back in the day when it was a 2-hour show and an hour reunion, I agree with you. I never would watch the reunion part of it because it was a lot of padding. But now we're down to like a 20-minute reunion. I mean, really, the winner wasn't called until like Nick wasn't revealed until like 10:35 maybe. So
no.
you know,
I, it, that yeah, was, it's it's stupid. It's stupid. It's useless. Well, I find the same thing with the Big Brother reunion, but at least Julia is a little more quick-witted and listens to what they say when she comes back. So you can get some more information on the wrap-up of the season sometimes, as opposed to this autopilot shit and following a script. Which, like I said, I know you have to have a guideline of a script, but you can go off book a little bit to get the information that people really want to know. Not what Jeff wants to know, but what people want to know.
Yeah, okay, I hear you. I'm not going to be so hard on Jeff about the liveness of it, because it's every single second of Big Brother, the finale is scripted, and you know it's a much, C is not jumping out of the Big Brother audience. It's not happening. Maybe
no.
Jeff Probst is looking all around, waiting to see who C is going to give money to this year.
She's listening to what they have to say, and if there's a follow-up question that she wants to, that is like a lead-in for a follow-up question, she'll ask it.
She didn't have any time this season. She was too busy letting Swaggy give a 90-minute proposal.
And making sure she got in her Julie Chen Moon-ness sign-off, too.
I know. That takes an extra, 90 seconds of the show every time she has to say her full last name. I understand. That you're absolutely right. Hey, so I loved this season. I thought it was so good. It re-energized my Survivor. In general, when I think about the show, I mean, Big Brother is more of my show that I've enjoyed. You know, it's like the one that I started out with and won. I mean, I've seen every season. I haven't seen every season of Survivor. But this was such a good season of Survivor. I was stoked for it. I'm so happy that it was so good this season. God, I'm so excited about Celebrity Big Brother. They kept running the promos. Stoked. I can't wait. I'm hoping they're going to get some names. I feel like they're going to get some names this year because the first season went so well. That's the hope. I'm pretty excited about this. They also did a bunch of promoting for World's Best with RuPaul, who Drew Barrymore, James Corden, these judges. This is huge. I'm in. I'm watching the hell out of that show. That's happening. I will watch, even though it's essentially America's Got Talent, I feel like I need to watch it just for the Drew Barrymore of it all. I'm in. The commercials got me. You won CBS. I will watch it. That's my take on that. I'm watching it. The masked one on Fox, The Masked Singer, I'm in. I'm watching that too. You have won. I will watch every singing competition, talent competition thing that's happening this fall or this spring, with the exception of American Idol. I'm not watching that one. But other than that, I'm in. I'm watching it all. I'm watching it all. I was stoked about those promos. I'm pretty happy about it.
For one that doesn't watch the stuff in between, you sure did watch a lot during the Survivor finale.
Oh my God. I was engaged. I was engaged. So a couple things that I wanna talk about, just to remind you guys. Next week when we come back, you know, I'm going to be talking a lot about Top Chef, getting into some of that. We have X on the Beach. We have those shows. So we'll move away from Survivor next week, and we'll start previewing upcoming shows, because then the week after we have a bunch of new shows that are coming up, and then we'll be talking about some of the holdouts, some of the shows that are keeping us company during the slow time, which I'm happy about. I love the fact that we're not getting, you know, we have the week between Christmas and New Year's is going to be slow, but not super slow because we're going to have some new content there. But then, boom, like January 1st, we're off to the races. We have stuff coming up. So I'm excited about that. I'm happy about that. So next week we'll discuss. We'll don't think that I haven't watched Top Chef, because I 100% have, and I have thoughts on it. We will discuss it. I wanted to tell you something else, Priscilla. X on the Beach started tonight, so you should be checking that out. I hate myself, but Lindsay Lohan's new reality show is starting at the beginning of the new year, and I will be watching that as well. I'm watching it for the shore. Like, it feels very Housewives to me, and I'm in. What I was going to tell you. Your Andy Cohen rant earlier sparked this on me. Tonight, Thursday night, and if you're listening to this on our archives on blogtalkradio.com or iTunes, you can go back to bravotv.com or go back to On Demand and watch this. Andy Cohen is having a special. It's a Christmas special with all the OG housewives. I'm in. Nene, Bethany, the crew all together. I'm in. I'm going to watch that. I wanted to put in a plug for that, Priscilla, since you were talking about Andy Cohen.
Yeah, he drives me nuts.
On a side note, this is totally not something I was going to talk about, but why not? We're here. This is what we do. I never watch What Happens Live. I just don't. Like, I just don't in general. I don't really typically watch any of the, like, late night talk shows. I'm just kind of not in that zone. But last night I happened to catch it because and Saoirse Ronan was on. And, you know, first of all, Andy was, I mean, he was sick. It was not good, but also, it was Saoirse Ronan and it was another guy, Lucas Hedges. And they're both like young actors. And so, you know, normally when the guests kind of get it, it makes for a much better kind of show back and forth. But between Andy being sick and like the guests were not like super engaged in what the games or what Andy was doing, it made for a very tense show. It was very interesting. I was like, oh God, I haven't watched this for a while. This isn't great. That's my side note from your Andy Cohen rant.
Follow up.
I know it made me think of it because I just watched it last night. I do like him as the host of reunion shows for Housewives, because I just finished watching the Orange County Housewives reunion, and I think he's good at that part of it when he has a lot of time to talk to people. I like him as the host of that.
What is that trying to get damn stupid frigging games that are useless and mean nothing. There's a couple I'm okay with, but you don't have to jam pack five different games in during a half hour show. It's ridiculous.
I think the whole thing is like he wants it to be high energy. He wants to keep it moving. He wants it to be different by being not like a traditional interview back and forth, like games and fun. The one thing about that I have to say, I think people reveal things on his show that they might not necessarily reveal anywhere else. And I think
this
under the context of the game.
This
so
is
I think
true.
That's a good thing.
But This is true. But he can do follow-up stuff to be able to, like, get more out of the situation instead of just teasing us with just a little bit. Let's be a little, he'll even cut people off mid-sentence, even when they're trying to elaborate, which annoys the hell out of me, for a damn stupid game. Some games are okay, but not that many games, and not the stupid grab your crotch games and shit like that. Who cares whose crotch is what? I could care less.
Wow.
I mean, come on. Would you rather have a follow-up question to, like, some dish as opposed to viewing somebody's crotch and guessing whose it is? Could care less.
I don't know. Is that format in general doesn't do, I'm like the wrong person to ask that question. That format doesn't really do much for me. I'm not a big, like, any of the talk show, because, you know, those shows are for the benefit of, you know, promoting your new stuff and getting your, so it's, you're not going to get a lot of information. They're kind of just quick, you know. I don't watch a ton of them. So I'm the bored person.
So we get teased. We could have follow up questions. Like, even when they're trying to, like, talk and say more, he cuts them off. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
I can't say this. Yeah. How many times can I say this? It's just it's frustrating. I watch it every single night, and it's like, okay, host, but he could be so much better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I think when he hosts the reunion shows, I really like him doing that. I think when he has time and he has the space to do things, I think doing things live when you're under the gun, it's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a big job, and trying to get, like, guests to interact in an interesting way, not tell a canned story, not kind of answer the same questions in the same way. I think it's difficult. That's why, you know, just as a side note, and this is the bonus coverage of our podcast, by the way, just as a side note, that's why I love podcasts, you know, for the reason that you have the time. You have as much time as you need to talk to someone, and you can, it doesn't have to be this, you know, it has to be this amount of time, and it can't be under, it can't be over, it can be whatever you need it to be. So that's why I like it. I think it's a really hard job. I don't know. Hosting is a really hard job.
It's so hard.
I mean, it's not digging ditches, but I think it's complicated.
I mean, back in the day, when I had to do interviews when you weren't around, I could do like 5 minutes and be done and have everything I needed asked. You do it so much better than me. It's not an easy job. I know.
No, please. So next week we are talking Top Chef. We're talking next on the beach. We got to talk about the decision for Dancing with the Stars to go once a season. There's so much to discuss next week. Look, everyone, have a really happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. We won't talk to you again until after then. So have fun. I hope you get what you always wanted. Your present, peace on earth, whatever you ask for. And you can tell me what you got for Christmas, as well as what you're doing, as well as what shows you're watching, all of that good stuff, by hitting us up on Twitter. I'm at Reality Alley. Priscilla's at PSILLA. Have a great Christmas. We will talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.